The word sculpture has this whole association in my mind of carving something out or adding something on. And I think that's why I don't completely like the word sculpture. I can sort of see the action of that.
With that sculpture, I think what's interesting is that they're very generic materials. They don't really have a certain origin, strangely, in the way that you might have understood archaeology or paleontology. They're kind of generic things that, in a way, they've kind of collated or been collated into one point in space. You've got a kind of situation, really.
I mean, a quality of sculpture is that you see it or you experience it in the round. You rotate around it. And in filming it, that became really clear as a sort of, as an experience of looking and moving. So that sense that you were being put into a rotation. So I became very conscious of that, I think. And that's always there in a sculptural experience. And you might pause, but then that sense of moving on and pausing again.
It feels like it's kind of only temporarily there and then it will change. So in a sense, it's a sculpture that never is echoing the fact. It kind of will continually go through cycles of kind of reorganising itself, repositioning itself. And Merleau-Ponty said that solidity was never in the heaven of ideas, nor in the depth of meaning. It was neither above or below appearances, but at its joints. And I think that's the thing about the paradox, I suppose, about that sculpture, is the way that it's kind of got this sort of thing. It's between, it's in that state of becoming.
That sort of sense that it's been expanded in relationship to landscape or architecture or sculpture, trying to think about its relationship to objects and things that we use and handle.
When you get things that are made with such bland materials like that, you could say, well, it's very minimalist, of course. It's a bit jud. I think kind of what's interesting is that it doesn't actually exist until you've engaged with it. That's when it momentarily exists, and then it vanishes again. So it's kind of weird. It's like this. It's like the plinth is kind of almost more constant than anything else.
Weird associations with sort of hierarchy and status. So sculpture with a sort of political or social agenda. And that's where the plinth, I think, can be quite problematic for lots of people, because that sense of it being elevated. But it's also pretty pragmatic, because you're lifting something up in order to look at it, in order to see it.
It focuses us on the plinth and what's on the plinth, but yet it's almost... Maybe when we look at it, we're actually looking at all the space outside of it rather than the space inside of it. Maybe we're the sculpture, and it's almost like a device to kind of make you sensorially aware of what's around you rather than what's in front of you.
I think the use of abstract shapes means that you do pause. You definitely pause in front of the... I've been thinking of it as the lens at the front. You know, at that moment, that feels like that's a pause. As the circle becomes a full circle, you pause. So there are moments where a shape sort of shows itself more explicitly, and then you pause. But there's always something that breaks that to move you further on.
So the thinking makes the materials emerge as something rather than nothing being there. It's almost that it continually, it vanishes and then momentarily emerges through that thinking. So I've been kind of looking at it, but I wasn't really looking at the sculpture. I was kind of making the sculpture because it wasn't really there in the first place. And in a way, I think that kind of means that it becomes something that the thinking brings about the source of the sculpture. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Because it's quite playful in a way. It doesn't look like there's a right or wrong way for it to be together. You know, it's got a certain element of gravity about it, but it doesn't really, there's nothing to say it couldn't be organised another way. It's like incessantly could change. Incessantness. I think it's the determinateness of qualities.
I was really interested in the fact that it had sort of perforated surfaces and transparent materials. And now that I've seen it up close, realising that you can sort of see through it, particularly the cylinder holes.
Gropius would say, we get rid of all the holes because the holes are not any good. What difference does it make? It's got holes in it. Doesn't he add in?
I don't have any sense of what it should be at all. And I have a sort of sense of moments when it's been reinvented or reinvented itself.
In a sense, it looks very ad hoc, but then that doesn't make sense anyway because it does have a sort of feeling of, well, those things have been put together in a particular way. The tube is kind of where it is, propping up the concrete. The perspex with the holes in it is at the top. So there seems to be a certain rationale in why it's like that, but it's totally unclear why that is.
I was thinking that the sculpture was like an assemblage. So definitely things being put together that feel that I can identify them as separate.
And what I kind of find interesting about sculpture is when it's, at the end of the day, it's a relational event. It's happened in a certain finite period of time, but yet Hegel would have said that with being and nothing there, they can't be finite.
It sort of has this sense of volume, but also that it disappears or that it's hard to catch hold of.
It's like a hierarchy of equivalence almost, where all these bits are equivalent. Like none of them are really any more important than the other bits. But then Hegel kind of thought that things had to work. He had this idea of totality. And totality was there to suggest that nothing, unlike Aristotle, it was separate elements that all did their own thing. It's kind of, for him, it's like everything had to be, was whole and always, always whole. And it was only the way that when we act, like thinking to him was like an action. In that action, something starts to take on a prominence to us. So in a way, we make, the sculpture isn't made by the artist, it's made by the viewer. So although it is a structure that's actually there and has been conceived in a physical, practical way, it's not really there as a sculpture until we've actually enacted it out in our own way. I think that's what happens. We make the sculpture. We don't even co-create it. The viewer makes the work. It sounds a bit like Roland Barthes, really, but I think it's kind of more interesting than that, you know, that we don't author it. It's more than that. It's not just physically putting it together, but we're giving it its credentials. We're giving it its kind of sense of being something. So we're extracting it from that oscillation in a way that Hegel's talked about, this oscillation of how the being vanishes into nothing, nothing vanishes into being. It goes back and forth. But I think in a way we do that. We make it go between these vanishing points by creating a sculpture ourselves. So in a sense, the sculpture isn't really there. There's materials there. They don't really have any identity anyway. They're just in the ether, if you like. But actually, we give it some kind of validity, some kind of prominence, some kind of determinateness by the way we bring it about.